Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, VetFriend, and Intrepid Direct, comprehensive business insurance designed specifically for franchises. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all required coverages, including property, liability, hired, non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, and EPL into one monthly payment. Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage no agent or broker can access. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent service. You'll save 20% by cutting out the middleman's commission. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/socialgeek. All right, friends, we are at a special event here in the franchise world this week. We're at the Emerging Franchisor Conference put on by the International Franchise Association, and I am literally coming to you from a bar in Nashville as we speak. We are at the very beautiful downtown Hilton Nashville Hotel, and joining me today is a member of the IFA and someone who is going to help us understand about emerging franchises and also about veterans in franchising. So I'd like to introduce right now the CEO and founder of VetCor, Paul Husar. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great, Jack. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's really a great event here at the Emerging Franchisor Conference. I've been for a few years. This is your first year, right?
Last year was the first year at Emerging Franchisor, and I've been to the IFA National Conference 2 years.
Excellent.
Before we even started franchising. So huge, helpful opportunities and connections. In fact, I think we met at one of these.
I think we did, yeah, probably. And it may have been at the bar at one of these, just a guess. So before we get into, you know, sort of the emerging franchisor situation and the veteran topic of the day, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
So my story, I born and raised in Ohio and then went to West Point. I was a civil engineer at West Point, thought I'll run my dad's construction company after 5 years in the Army. Well, 23 years in the Army later on active duty, I retired and moved to Tampa, Florida. My last couple jobs in the Army, 4 tours in Iraq, I commanded a combat airborne engineer battalion in 2009 and 10. And then my last job, which is kind of significant to why VetCor, I was the dean of the Army's engineer school at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Then I retired in 2013 and moved to Tampa. And why Tampa? Because I love Tampa. Why not? So that's the abbreviated version. But the rest of the story is we started, I struggled with my own transition.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't know who I was and didn't know what I had to offer. And I went for 6 months without finding a job and frankly started getting depressed.
Yeah.
And then through these crazy set of circumstances, I had the opportunity to start VetCor.
You know, that is crazy because, you know, West Point grad commanded how many troops over the years?
Yep.
Thousands, right?
Yep.
Degree in engineering, advanced degree in engineering.
Yep. Master's from University of Washington.
And can't find a job. That's an interesting situation. It's like, and I see this a lot in franchising. Somebody's way overqualified in some areas, but they don't have, you know, they don't have the resume that looks the right way to some employers, right?
Well, and when you talk about the right way, part of the challenge is there's such a disconnect between veterans and society now that the right way really isn't defined, particularly for veterans.
Yeah.
So we're at a point in time where less than 0.5% of the population actively serves in the military. So Guard, Reserve, active duty, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. It's the lowest it's been in our nation's history.
Yeah, not exactly like the World War II standard.
Yeah, World War II, 9% of our population was mobilized
wow.
to fight and win, arguably, wow. you know, why they're called the greatest generation.
Yeah.
And that translates today to something like 70 to 80% of the men over 80 years old are veterans.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
And that's why, but overall, veterans are only about 7% of the adult population. So it's the lowest it's been, and it's getting lower because the active duty Guard and Reserve size is so small. So we're actually drifting farther and farther apart from the population we serve to protect and defend.
And do you see that as a trend that will continue? That's not going to stop, right?
But barring, you know, World War III against, you know, Iran or Korea or something like that, and a huge jump and spike in the population of active duty, it's going to continue because the veteran population now is a very aged population. So there are a substantially larger number of older veterans than younger veterans. They're dying faster than we're creating new veterans.
Are you seeing guys retiring from military service earlier or later, or is that not a factor?
It's somewhat of a factor because there was a bit of a downsizing. And now through attrition, you know, the military is generally an up or out population.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a pyramid. So generally about 2,000 to 250,000 service members are leaving the force every year because of either up or out policies, retirement, you name it. And they're entering the population, and they're a great talent pool that we are not fully taking advantage of.
Yeah, 250,000 people a year, you said.
Yep.
And a lot of them probably had the same situation and challenges that you had, you know, being uber qualified in certain things, but not fitting, you know, the right model for some companies, right?
Yeah, and there's some challenges, right, with respect to understanding the model and this this challenge with people not understanding the military. But one of the biggest challenges that people don't really get is whether you were 18 years old and joined the military and for 5 years as an enlistment and got out, or like me, 18, 4 years at West Point, 23 years on active duty, 27 years later. The point is, whether you're a retired guy or a young soldier with one enlistment, all of that time was as an adult, right? So
yeah,
the way you
yeah.
learned to be an adult was based on the cultures, norms, and values of the U.S. military. And when you think about that, that's all about teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about mission first, taking care of people, caring, compassionate leadership. But then what happens is when you translate that out, that means they suck at creating resumes.
Yeah.
They suck at interviewing because an interview and a resume is all about promoting yourself.
Right. They didn't spend time as an intern at an ad agency on Michigan Avenue in Chicago.
Right.
And nothing against my friends at the ad agencies in Chicago or New York. But it's
just a different culture, right?
And it's a different skill set. Yeah, totally get that. Let's talk a little bit about your work in bringing these opportunities to veterans that, you know, I think it's very cool that you kind of saw that other people would have the same issues that you had, and there's a way forward. And I know there's a lot of great franchise brands that are doing stuff with veterans, but I found it interesting that you're not exclusively focused on veterans, right? But it is a big part of your VetCorps company.
It is. Our policy with VetCorps before we even started franchising was that we hire veterans and those who share similar values. And I'll tell you, I could beat the values drum all day long, and a lot of veteran advocates do, and I'm not minimalizing that, but I'm not sure people hire based on values. I think they'll fire based on the lack of values.
Yeah.
So what I'll tell you, the reasons why veterans make good teammates and even great franchisees is because they're lifelong learners. They've been changing jobs and physical assignments every 2 to 3 years for their entire career. They've gone through huge technological shifts in whether it's radios or weapon systems or global positioning systems or encryption devices. They've had to learn and keep up with new technology,
spinning faster
than any other profession really in the world. Right? So they're familiar with new technology, implementing things. They're always lifelong learners. They're not an old dog that you can't teach new tricks. They're familiar with SOPs, tactical SOPs, but they make them better. And there's this notion that we just follow orders very rotely. And,
That's a little cliche,
I
think.
Yeah, that's
right?
Bullshit.
Yeah.
The reality is they understand they're nested with the commander's intent 2 levels above. And they understand how to take the initiative and then make things execute.
Mm-hmm.
And the initiative of the small unit leader is why the U.S. military is the best it's ever been and the best in the world, frankly. And unless you've served in that, and because of this disconnect, people don't get that.
Right.
And so we get this bad rap, I think, sometimes that we just follow rote orders, we're robots, et cetera.
Right.
On the contrary, and it's proven statistically, as you know, why veterans make great franchisees, great small business owners, etc.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think aside from us and some other great organizations like VetFran, which we're going to talk about in a minute, just saying that it's true, we actually see results. And I'm not sure what the latest stats are, but business owners who were veterans have a much higher rate of success. And even within a franchise system, they outperform the non-veteran franchise owners.
Yeah, and I don't want to paint this picture that veterans are better than everybody else, right? And so I want to be careful about that, and veterans have to be careful about that, because we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves, away from the rest of the society. Actually, what we want to do is get involved in our communities, get involved in the business communities, get involved in the franchise systems, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful about that. But I'll also promote those veterans and say, look, they come with the values we already talked about. They come with the skill sets. They come with things like, I call them recipes for success. Just about every veteran knows what an after-action review is. What happened, why it happened, how we can improve. And we did that. It was ingrained in our culture in the military, right? So imagine if you have this franchise system full of people who are always asking themselves, what happened, why it happened, mm-hmm. how we can improve. That system just gets better every day and learns those lessons, right?
It's like very transparent accountability.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it gets back to they hold themselves accountable. They're results-oriented. They're self-disciplined, right? They have tools, troop leading procedures. People talk about oftentimes these days about millennials.
Yeah.
Well, millennials, they always want to know the why. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? Military leaders have been giving the why to their subordinates all their lives. There's five components to a mission statement. Who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. And if you want to give an abbreviated mission to someone, you give them task and purpose. So I think those things are just ingrained in military leaders, and they are the same or very similar characteristics that lead to successful franchisees.
And I think along with that, another reason that I see why it makes sense to bring in a veteran as a franchise partner is I think they're going to be good for veteran employment overall. They're more likely to hire other vets, right?
Yeah, and I'll just tell you, statistically, veterans hire veterans, right? Mm-hmm. They're our teammates. But I'll also tell you, unlike any other characterization of business, women-owned, minority-owned, a veteran-owned business, when it gets some type of, if it gets a, for example, government set aside mm-hmm. because they're a veteran-owned mm-hmm. business, doesn't only help the veteran who owns the business, it helps the veterans who are employed in the business.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
minorities don't necessarily hire minorities, women don't necessarily hire women, et cetera, right? But it's when you look at that type of situation where you're trying to recognize a veteran-owned business, perhaps give them your business or give them an opportunity to earn their business. Generally, not only are you helping that veteran business owner, you're helping the veterans who he or she employs as well.
Very cool. Tell me a little bit about VetCorps. I know you've got a pretty solid team of veterans on your management team, doing sales and operations and all of that kind of thing. Where are you guys going with this
thing? Oh, man. So if we can make things happen the way we believe we can, our goal and our vision is to become the brand known for timely, quality, reliable service that represents the value of veterans, and to become, frankly, the premier private employer within our franchisee system. Being careful about the joint employer thing there,
yeah.
within our franchisee system
yeah.
Of veterans in the United States. And then what happens is if we can do that, right, we build this brand, and so now as veterans tend to grow apart from the population we serve to protect and defend. Now, VetCorps and other businesses, other veteran-owned businesses, mm-hmm. can step up mm-hmm. and represent those values of veterans to the American public. So when we show up with a technician who has a VetCorps branded shirt on, or for that matter, any other veteran-owned business that represents themselves that way, when they show up fit, polite, on time,
yeah.
as a service provider,
yeah.
that's almost
yeah.
unheard of,
yeah.
treats their customers with dignity and respect, calls them sir, calls them ma'am.
Sir and ma'am, wow, what a
not
concept.
Not only are we representing VetCorps, not only are we representing VetFran, ourselves, our communities, we're representing who we were and veterans writ large. And that is hugely important.
Very cool. You've got some pretty good growth plans, I think. You're kind of expanding out from mostly in Florida right now, or are you growing across the Southeast or across the country, or what's the plan?
Yeah, so the cool thing is, you know, we're a restoration company. We have a preferred vendor relationship with 50, a little over 50 now, insurance companies. Many of those insurance companies are nationwide, and we looked at the market across the nation. We have about 30% market share penetrated in just about every state. So we can go to just about any state, mm-hmm. and it's going to be opportunities. We're focused on Florida first because it just makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we build the infrastructure and we set those franchisees up for success.
A lot of veterans there too,
yep,
right?
As well. But then as we go, we'd like to expand out from there, but also if we find the right opportunities in the right states that are conducive to franchising and the right types of leaders, veteran leaders, who are willing to take charge, we're prepared to go outside there, but we're trying to grow responsibly. So we started franchising just a couple months ago. We've already sold 8 franchises in Florida.
Wow.
We're working to expand that and targeting there. And then when we go there, then it's expanding throughout the Southeast. But if we found the right veteran and the right who has the right skill set to prepare to independently and penetrate those potential other states, we're willing to go there as well.
Great. And I think that's a smart, strategic plan. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about emerging franchises here, but I see so many brands that will sell to anybody who can write a check and, you know, and can fog a mirror, right? And it's like the last thing you want to do at this point while you're growing your business is to have to fly back and forth to Seattle,
no,
you know,
right?
If there's a problem. You want to stay, you know, one of the guys on your team, Mike Long, explained it to me. Just like in the military, you don't want to go out past your supply line.
Right. Outrun your logistics, right? And so thanks to the IFA and meeting folks like you and other vendors, other people in the industry, and this industry is so incredibly sharing of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
I went to the IFA for the past 2 years before we even started the national convention. Been to the last 2 emerging franchisor conferences, little regional ones along the way. And if there's one thing I learned, it's 1, award franchises, don't sell them. And
yep.
2, grow your infrastructure and not too quickly and don't oversell, because then you're going to outrun your infrastructure as well, because you have to set your early franchisees up for success in order to get future franchisees and grow the right amount of infrastructure as you go and you grow franchises.
Yeah, you know what I like that I just heard? You went to like 2 IFA conventions before you even started franchising, so you were really serious about doing your homework on this.
Yeah, look, we are, again, I think veterans, oftentimes we're risk averse because we've been in, particularly with respect to our own careers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, Uncle Sam's been giving us a paycheck.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So,
safe and secure.
That's right. And so I wanted to make sure I understood this. I went to school. But again, mm-hmm. going back to, we're lifelong learners as well. We can teach old dogs new tricks. And so I went to school on this, tried to understand it. And also, I think the other pieces were a lot about relationships, about team players, right? We met at one of those conferences.
Yeah.
We've met a ton of people who are willing to help. They love our cause as well. And so we'll eat as much free chicken as we can get. And so we would just start feasting on free chicken and preparing ourselves for success. So then when it's time to launch, we were ready to succeed.
Yeah. And I think, like, the show we're at here in Nashville this week is just such a great example of that, of people in this industry, this franchise industry, and maybe you'd see some connections there to the military too. They're learning, uh-huh. but they're also lifelong teachers. You know, you're teaching it to the next generation or somebody who's just getting into franchising, no matter what their age is. And that competitor also someday might be a coworker or a franchisee or a partner in some way, right?
Yeah, I think the essence of franchising really is an industry in and of itself. Like, so VetCor is a franchising business now.
Yeah.
We still own and operate a restoration business, which is a different business than VetCor franchising.
Yeah. Are you gonna stay in that restoration business, or are you eventually gonna be completely franchised?
No, so we'll always stay because we wanna have, you know, we wanna be able to show our franchisees what right looks like,
okay.
and bring them, and so we'll always at least keep the Tampa office.
Yeah.
We'll see how we grow from there. We own 3 offices now. We may sell a couple of those off. Depends. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But franchising, in its essence, I believe, is training, standardizing, and replicating.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. One, who does training, standardizing, and replicating yeah. better than the U.S. military?
Right, right.
So we feel pretty good and pretty comfortable about moving forward with that. But when you think about that as an industry, right, all these people here are representing restaurants and service companies and, you know, vendors, et cetera, right? So for the most part, we're not competitors in the same industry because we're in franchising. I mean, the same person that's looking at a Vetcor franchise really isn't looking
at a probably not looking at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, right. And so we can share. But even when you had, like last night, had drinks with the president of PureClean.
Great guy. Steve White. Yeah,
Steve is a former infantry officer and very willing to talk because, one, he understands what we're trying to do. And we recognize that if you're a good company, if you're a good brand, there's more than enough work in the industries to share.
Yeah.
And then you all get your own market penetration based on quality, your clients, et cetera. And so it's healthy competition.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And the size of the pie is growing. So
it is.
There's plenty to go around for everybody. The last point I was just thinking about earlier today, one of the sessions we were in was being led by Brian Schnell and Ken Hutchison, and they were talking about collaborative leadership, and I thought that that would play into our discussion here today too, because you know the military doesn't have a general and then like a million privates, right? There's a lot of leaders in between, right?
So I love that example today because they talked about collaborative versus command and control.
Yeah,
right?
And everyone would think command and control. That sounds like the military, but it's not.
And then who did they use as an example of this great collaborative leader? They talked about General McChrystal.
Yeah.
And he is. He's a phenomenal leader.
Yeah.
So this is one of my passionate subjects. I give a lot of interviews on veteran advocacy. Look, leadership in its essence is about the purpose, direction, motivation, you know, getting a group of people to do what you want them to do as their leader. Because they want to do it.
Because they want to do it, not
right?
because they're being told.
And so we have a tool in our tool bag with our rank and with our rote orders, et cetera, and we're all good at it. We can use it, but it's the last tool we reach for. Meanwhile, the most effective leaders I've ever met, and I believe we don't get enough credit for this, are military leaders because they understand the true essence, and it's a leader development laboratory. And so I think you hit the nail on the head. And for those out there listening, if you really want a compassionate, caring leader who's willing to exercise the initiative, think critically as well as creatively, look at a military leader for that talent that you're looking for.
Excellent. We're going to be back in just a second with some contact information for Paul. But first, we've been talking about VetFran a little bit here today, and I did want to mention that Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at vetfran.org. Paul, thanks so much for joining me today here at the beautiful downtown Nashville Hilton. If people want to learn a little bit more about Vetcor, or maybe they've got some questions specifically for you on the veteran leadership topic today, where can they reach you?
Yep, they can reach me on LinkedIn, Huszar, Huszar. I believe it's the only one on LinkedIn. Also social media. I'm pretty on Facebook. I'm active on both of those platforms. Vetcor, VETCOR, services.com is our company website. Vetcor Franchising is our .com is our franchising landing page. Both of those will get you our contact information and get to us or directly to me personally on social media platforms.
Excellent. We'll have links to all of those places on the Social Geek website. Paul, thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.